Luke's Gospel in chapter 15, as we come to the Gospel. Luke chapter 15. Coming to familiar territory tonight. I'm sure each and every one of us have read this passage many times before, but nevertheless, we're going to come to it in the Gospel this evening. Luke chapter 15. And we'll begin to read at verse number 1. Let's read God's word together. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he findeth? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. And we do indeed trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy inspired word to our hearts this evening. Tonight I want to preach on a story, or a parable, if you will, that I'm sure is very well known to each and every one of us this evening. I'm sure you'd have to go quite far beyond Points Pass tonight to find somebody who has been brought up in church or has been brought up in Sunday school who hasn't heard this parable of the lost sheep. It's a very well-known parable. It's one that is taught to boys and girls even from a very young age. And yet this evening it perfectly portrays for me and for us tonight the message of the gospel. And you know that would be our very aim here this evening, to share with you the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I mentioned this morning that there's many churches, especially in Northern Ireland today, and they don't have an evening service. And the church is closed on a Sunday night and it's in darkness and they're not sharing this precious message of the gospel. But praise God, tonight you can be found tonight in a Baptist church like Points Pass who is faithful to the witness of the gospel. And tonight we all trust indeed that you'll even make this the night in your experience where you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that word gospel, it means good news. It means hope. And so tonight, as we look at this passage together, I trust that you'll listen to the calling of the Holy Spirit on your soul tonight. And you know, it's important in any Bible reading situation that we get the context, that we get the context of exactly what we're reading. And so before we even get into this parable of the lost sheep tonight, I want to look at a very quick recap and a quick overview of the chapter prior to Luke chapter 15 to find out how exactly we got to this stage. If you want to flick back, it's just a page to the start of Luke chapter 14. We'll get a bit of background as to how we've ended up where we are tonight. At the beginning of Luke chapter 14, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's made some enemies. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to these people and he's healed a man with dropsy. And you might look at me tonight and say, well, what's wrong with that? Sure, that's good. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he healed this man on the Sabbath. And the scribes and the Pharisees that were there that day, well, they weren't too happy about this. And they sort of pinned the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, well, what are you doing? You can't be healing a man on the Sabbath. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he sort of embarrasses the Pharisees and scribes and he sort of upstages them, because he mentions to them further on down Luke 14 that if you had a cow or a donkey that was stuck in a pit, would you not pull it out on the Sabbath? And so they're a bit embarrassed. And then we look further on down into Luke chapter 14 and we see there from verses 7 to 14, we see there that the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us a brief lesson on humility. And your key verse there for humility would be verse 11. And then we go further down into Luke chapter 14, and we see from verses 15 to verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells that very well-known parable of the Great Supper. The story of this man who had prepared a great supper, and he had invited many people to come to this great supper. But what do the people do? They begin to make excuses. They begin to give excuses for why they can't come. And you know, we in points past tonight, we trust tonight that as you're presented with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll not make excuses. That you'll not make excuses not to come to Jesus Christ tonight. And then Luke 14, it's finished off from verses 25 to 35. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks a little on this topic of counting the cost. Counting the cost. Verse 28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost?" And you know, as we in points past tonight would trust that as the gospel is presented to you, that you won't make excuse. But we also trust tonight that you'll count the cost. That you'll count the cost of rejecting Jesus Christ. And then, as you can imagine in your mind tonight, as the Lord Jesus Christ has healed this man with dropsy, and then he gives this lesson on humility. Remember, these are new truths. This is new teaching at this time that is being revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. You can imagine in your mind tonight that the crowd's starting to gather. And the crowd's starting to get bigger. And then he speaks about the parable of the Great Supper and counting the cost. And more people are flocking toward this man, Jesus Christ. And we see the crowd beginning to grow. And then we hit chapter 15. In verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." You see, the first thing I want you to notice tonight before we even get into the parable is this. Jesus Christ has a message worth hearing. Jesus Christ has a message worth hearing. You see, this crowd of people, they were gathering around the Lord to hear what he had to say. And you know, tonight, dear unsaved friend in points past, I trust tonight that before you switch off, before you write off another Sunday night, no matter what your background is, whether you believe in God tonight, whether you believe Jesus Christ tonight or not, I want you to at least hear tonight what Jesus Christ has to say. Because it's very clear to see from this crowd that is gathered that Jesus Christ has a message worth hearing. And there's a message here tonight specifically for you. A message that can quite literally, no exaggeration, can change your life. A message that can change your future. A message that can change your eternity. And then we go on and we read verse 2, and it says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." There's not only a message worth hearing, but then there's an invitation extended. You see, remember later in the day, or earlier in the day, in Luke 14, you'll remember the Lord Jesus Christ had upstaged these Pharisees. He had embarrassed the scribes when he had healed the man on the Sabbath. And so these Pharisees, they're trying to turn this crowd against the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, they would have meant that phrase, "this man receiveth sinners," as a sly, as a dig. And they would have been looking at the crowd that day and pointing at Jesus Christ and saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." But in points past this evening, friends, could I suggest to you tonight that that's not a sly at Jesus Christ. That's not a dig at Jesus Christ. In fact, tonight, that's a rather beautiful thought. That Christ Jesus receiveth sinners. You see, that word receiveth, it means welcomes. And you know, tonight there's an invitation extended to you. Jesus Christ welcomes you to himself. He offers you his great and free salvation, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven. But the question tonight is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? And so let's get into this parable of the lost sheep tonight. There's a couple of things tonight I want you to see in this parable of the lost sheep. The first one is this, the sinner's position. The sinner's position. Drop your eye down to verse 4. and read again with me. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You see, the first thing I want you to see tonight is the sinner's position. It says there in the latter part of verse 4, that which is lost. And you see, tonight, friend, if I had to describe tonight somebody who is outside of Christ, if I had to describe what the sinner looks like in the eyes of God tonight, it would be that little four-letter word, lost. Completely and utterly lost. There's two things I want you to see in the sinner's position. The first one is this. I want you to see your earthly position. Your earthly position. You see, tonight, friend, outside of Christ, when you stand before God tonight, you stand before him as lost. You're not where you're supposed to be. You see, folks, our natural environment tonight, our natural position should be in our Creator, in our God. But tonight, when you look around the world tonight, what do you see? You see men and women who are living for anything but God, don't you? They're living for self. They're living for pleasure, for money, for fame, for a good time. But folks, tonight in points past, could I say to you that you can never lead a meaningful life. You can never lead a purposeful life, a joyful life, a fulfilling life without Jesus Christ. You look around our world tonight. Mankind, it's very clear to see they were made to follow something. They were made to worship something. You look at people in 2024 today, what do you see? They worship themselves. They worship money. They worship celebrities. They worship religion. They worship sports stars. You name it, mankind will follow after it. We have a natural inkling to worship something. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the one thing, the only one who can give you true satisfaction is Jesus Christ. You see that welling void in your life tonight? You see that thing that you just can't fill? Jesus Christ is the only one who can fill it. Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy. How do I know that? He says so himself. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus Christ can offer you better life tonight, a life more abundant. Only Christ can satisfy. You see, tonight you're lost. It's interesting to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he uses this picture of a sheep. He makes the point that you and I, in our sinful state tonight, we're like sheep. We've wandered away. In fact, in the account, the parallel passage, if you will, of this account of the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus, he uses that word astray. That word astray. And we see that word also in that familiar passage, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, your earthly position tonight is that you're lost. Lost in sin. I remember not so long ago going out to a place called Gorchan. Now, if you don't know where Gorchan is, it's in the middle of nowhere. You think people say Points Pass in the middle of nowhere? Wait till you get to Gorchan. It is in the middle of nowhere. But Discover NA, that company, they've built three big giants, big statues made out of wood, and they've put them along a number of mountains around Northern Ireland. And there's one up in Dava Forest, if you've heard of it as well. There's one up there. But anyway, we went one day when we were at home up to Gorchan to go up this mountain and to see this statue. And when we were coming home, we were driving down a little country road in Gorchan, and what do you think we came across in the road? A sheep. A little sheep walking around the road, not a care in the world. And we stopped the car and we looked at the sheep for a little while, and this sheep, it was standing outside on the road, looking in through the fence at the other sheep in the field. And they were looking out at him on the road thinking, "How did you get out there?" And he was looking back at them as if to say, "I have no idea." You see, this sheep, he was lost. And he was wandering around. He was absolutely disorientated. And you know, friend, tonight outside of Christ, that's just like you. You're lost in your sin tonight. But Jesus Christ wants to find you. Would you not come to him tonight? Would you not be wonderfully found? We see your earthly position, but then I want you to see your eternal prospect. Your eternal prospect. You see, tonight, friend, in points past, if your earthly position is that you're lost outside of Christ, well then your eternal prospect is that you're destined for hell. A lost eternity. You know, I heard it said before by a Christian apologist. He said, if you choose to live your life separate from God, then God will grant your request and you will spend eternity separate from God. You see, tonight, friends, sin cannot enter heaven. Never can, never will. And so you and I have a problem tonight. You see, as long as you have that sin in your life, you can't get into hell. You know, that's one of the greatest questions ever asked in the history of mankind. One of the greatest questions ever asked was in Job chapter 14 and verse 14, where it says, "If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again?" And there's many people in the world tonight, and they're asking that very question. And maybe you find yourself in a Baptist church tonight at a gospel service, and you're asking that question. What happens after I die? Is there life after death? Well, can I say this? That to that question tonight, the scriptures could respond with a resounding yes. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Says this, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." You see, tonight, friends, in points past, there's an after this. There's life after death, and it's only existence in one of two places, heaven or hell. The Bible makes it very clear. What's it going to be for you tonight? You're lost in sin. You're destined for hell. There's only one answer. It's Jesus Christ. Would you not come to him tonight? It'd be made ready for heaven. There's the sinner's position. But then I want you to see, secondly, there's the Savior's plan. Come back to verse 4 again with me. Let's read verse 4 again. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" You see, tonight we've thought of your earthly position. We've thought of your eternal prospect. But praise God, tonight it's not all bad news. Remember that word gospel, it means good news. Good news because there's a Savior's plan. You see, tonight, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the one who left the 99. He was the one. In verse 4 that says, he went after that which was lost. You know, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, just a couple of chapters further into Luke, it says this, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And you know, friend, tonight, that one which is lost tonight is you, if you're outside of Christ. Friend, in points past tonight, would you not be found this evening? Would you not be wonderfully saved tonight? Made clean, made ready for heaven. Would you not come to Jesus Christ tonight? Two things I want you to see in the Savior's plan. Firstly, the Savior's seeking. the Savior's seeking. You see, Jesus Christ, he came into the world to save you from your sin, to cleanse you, to make you right before God. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." You see, friends, tonight Jesus Christ came to save you. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your race, creed, or background. Jesus Christ can save you tonight. Look at the very man who uttered those words in 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul. We think of the Apostle Paul today as a great giant of the faith. And so we should. A man who we thought of this morning that was all out for God. But what sort of man was the Apostle Paul before he met Jesus Christ? He was a rather evil man. We read in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, it mentions a couple of things about Paul, and it says that he was a blasphemer. He was a blasphemer of Jesus Christ. We read that he was a persecutor. And injurious, you'll remember that Paul held the coats of the men who stoned Christians. Paul, at this time, he was a real thorn in the side of the church. An evil man in the side of the church in that day. And yet, what does he say at the end of verse 13? "But I obtained mercy." But I obtained mercy. Mercy. And you know, friend, tonight that mercy is extended to you if you'd only come to him in simple faith. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know if things are going particularly well or if things aren't going so well. But I do know this. Jesus Christ can change your life tonight. You got an addiction tonight? Jesus Christ can set you free. Have you got a broken home tonight? Jesus Christ can transform your home. You got a failing marriage tonight? Being a bad spouse? Jesus Christ can change you tonight. He has given hope. He has given meaning. He has given purpose to so many people who have put their faith and trust in him. And that can be yours tonight if you'd only come to Jesus Christ. I remember reading the story of a man called Bart Millard. I don't know if any of you have heard of him before, but if you've heard of the song, I Can Only Imagine, Bart Millard is the man who wrote that song. It's actually been turned into a movie as well. It's a very good movie. I recommend it. But this man, Bart Millard, he had a very abusive father. His father was very abusive to his mother, and he was an alcoholic. He just came home from work every day to lay in the house, and he drank day and night. And this man, he took out his anger on his wife, and later he actually began to be abusive to Bart as well. And as Bart got older and as he turned 18, he finally was able to get away from this man. And he moved away from his dad further into the city and left him behind and got away to a better life. But a year or two later, he received a letter from his dad to come and see him. And of course, he was very apprehensive. Remember, this was the man who had beat him and his mother. This was the man who had been very abusive to him as a child. But when Bart came to see his dad, and as this man came out of the front door and into the front yard, this was a completely different man. He wasn't the rugged drunkard that he remembered. No, this man, he was clean shaven. He had a meal prepared on the table. And he was asking for forgiveness for what he had done. You see, Bart Millard's dad had had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He'd put his faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result, he was a new man. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you tonight, but I've never heard of any doctor. I've never heard of any psychiatrist. I've never heard of any professional who can wrought a change like that in a person's life. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And you know, tonight in points past, Jesus Christ, he can make you a new man. He can make you a new woman, right where you are tonight. You'd only put your faith and trust in him. He'll not only cleanse you from sin, he'll not only give you a home in heaven, but he'll give you new life. New life here and now on earth. Would you not come to him? Friends, tonight, I wonder, can you picture it in your mind tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son, who came down from the glory and splendor of heaven. He was born as a little baby and laid in the manger, as we remember, at Christmas time. And he would grow up to be a man, and he would live a perfect life. And one day he would go to the cross of Calvary. Why? To die there for you and for me. To shed his precious blood. And not only to go through the pain and the torment of the physical pain of crucifixion, no. But in those 3 hours of darkness, the wrath of Almighty God was poured upon him. He took my place. He took your place. Would you not come to him tonight? Does it mean nothing to you? Folks, Jesus Christ didn't only die at Calvary, but he rose again the third day, victorious over death and hell. And you can have victory in him tonight if you'd only put your faith and trust in him. What will your answer be tonight? There's the Savior seeking, but then I want you to see the sinners seeking. We've seen tonight that Jesus Christ is seeking for you. He wants to save you tonight. He wants to cleanse you from your sin. But you must come to him. You must come to him. You must seek him. I wonder what's holding you back tonight. I wonder what's stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ. I wonder, is it other Christians tonight? Sure, you Christians are all the same. Hypocrites. You should see the Christians I know. Friends, this evening, could I put it to you like this? That if I was to come down off this pulpit tonight, and I was to come over to this piano, and somebody was to give me a sheet of music from Beethoven or Mozart, and I was to come down to the piano and play it, I promise you this, there wouldn't be many people left in the church. You'd all be away home. You'd be saying, that man hasn't a note. But if I was to play that sheet music of Mozart or Beethoven, and it was awful because I can't play the piano, would you come up to me and say, Beethoven's an awful musician? Of course you wouldn't. You'd say, I can't play the piano at all. I'm awful at playing his music. Friends, tonight in points past, much to our discredit, there's a lot of Christians today, and they're awful at playing Jesus Christ. They're awful at living a life after his character. But just like you wouldn't blame Beethoven or Mozart for me not being able to play their music, sinner friend tonight, don't reject Jesus Christ because Christians can't play him well. Jesus Christ loves you tonight. He loves you so much that he died for you. Would you not come to him tonight? Would you not be made whole? Would you not be saved? We thought at the start tonight in Luke chapter 14 of counting the cost. And you know, tonight you will have to count the cost of rejecting Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this. Each and every person who leaves this place tonight will have a price to pay. Whatever you decide to do with Jesus Christ, it'll cost you something. You see, tonight to accept Jesus Christ, to be saved tonight, to become a follower of him, it will cost you your sin. It will cost you the lifestyle you live right now. You see, Christ calls all to repent. And that means to quite literally turn around and to follow him. You see, he says there in Luke 14 and verse 27, "For whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You see, you'll have to give up the sin. You'll have to give up the old lifestyle, but Christ will help you. You see, it'll cost you something to follow Jesus Christ. But likewise, it'll cost you something to reject him. But oh, tonight it'll cost you so much more. So much more. You see, tonight, friend, to reject Jesus Christ, it will cost you peace of mind. Because you'll have no guarantee of heaven. It will cost you eternal life. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who offers eternal life. It will cost you an eternity in heaven. Because he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Friends, tonight, what's your answer going to be tonight? What will you do with Jesus Christ? What a shame it would be for someone who sat in Points Pass Baptist Church under the faithful ministry of the gospel many, many times, all to end up in a lost eternity. Folks, don't reject them this evening. This could be your very final opportunity. Would you not come to him tonight? You know, there's an account of two men in Acts chapter 26, and we'll maybe just finish with this. If you all want to turn with me to Acts chapter 26. There's an account here in Acts chapter 26 of two different men. One called Festus and another called Agrippa. And the Apostle Paul was preaching to them and he was sharing with them the gospel, and they had two different responses. You'll see in verse 24, you'll see the response of Festus. Verse 24, he says, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." You see, this man Festus, he had no time for the gospel. He had no time for Christ. He completely rejected the Lord. I wonder, is that you tonight? I wonder, are you so against the gospel? Are you so against the Lord Jesus Christ that it's easy to say no now? What a dangerous place to be. To willfully reject the Lord Jesus Christ time and time and time again. Friend, this could be your last opportunity. The scriptures say, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Folks, don't think tonight that you can just come to Jesus Christ whenever you want. You can only come to him when the Holy Spirit convicts, when he calls upon your heart, And if he's speaking to you tonight, don't reject him. Don't push him away. The scriptures say, harden not your heart. Don't reject the Lord tonight. Festus was completely against the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we see this other man, Agrippa. And look at verse 28 of Acts 26. This man, Agrippa, he says in verse 28, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, this man, Agrippa, he was a little softer to the gospel. He was open to hearing it. Perhaps he was even intrigued, perhaps even interested. But do you want to know the scary thing tonight in Points Pass? Both of these men, as far as we know, died and went to hell. Why? Because both rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it doesn't matter if you outright reject him tonight. And it doesn't matter if you're almost persuaded. You see, friend, tonight, if you don't accept him, you've automatically rejected. Paul says in verse 29, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. You see, you ought to be altogether persuaded. Folks, come to Christ tonight. Be made whole. Be made a new creature. Be made ready for heaven. Would you not come to Jesus Christ tonight? I had another point to go, but my time's gone. Friends, what's your answer going to be tonight? What will you do with Jesus Christ? We've seen your position tonight, the sinner's position, your earthly position, you're lost in sin. We've seen your eternal prospect, a lost eternity in hell, outside of Jesus Christ. But praise God, tonight we've seen the Savior's plan. Such love there was that he came the whole way from heaven to die on a cross of Calvary for you. Friend, all you have to do tonight is put your trust in him. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Don't be like Festus and Agrippa tonight. Don't reject the Lord. Don't be almost persuaded. No, come to Jesus Christ. This could be your final opportunity. Jesus Christ welcomes you to himself tonight. He offers peace. He offers new life. He offers eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sins. Would you not come to him tonight? I trust you will.